Luke chapter 5. Listen carefully to what I read you, because the only absolute authority is the Word of God. So if the Word of God is given, accept that, set aside, but listen. Luke chapter 5, and look at verse 17. Luke 5, 17. And it came to pass on one of those days that he was teaching, and there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, who were come out of every village of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with him to heal. Understand, not our Savior's inherent deity. He's fully God, but when he heals, the power of the Lord was with him to heal. And behold, men bring on a bed him that was palsied, and sought to bring him in and lay him before him. And not finding by what way they might bring him in, because of the multitude, they went up to the housetop and let him down through the tiles, with his couch in the midst before Jesus. And seeing their faith, he said, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this that speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But Jesus, perceiving their reasoning, answered and said unto them, Why reason ye in your heart? Which is easier to say, Thy sins are forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath authority on earth to forgive sins. He said unto him that was palsied, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy couch, and go to thy house. And immediately he rose up before them, and took up that whereon he lay, and departed to his house, glorifying God. And amazement took hold on all, and they glorified God, and they were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today. Now, chapter 11. Our Savior is accused when he performs miracles, not doing it because of God. But let's read in verse 19, 11:19. If I by Beelzebub cast out demons, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. But if I, by the finger of God, and you'll find in Matthew 12 that this is the Spirit of God, if I, by God's Spirit, the finger of God, cast out demons, then is the kingdom of God come upon you. Now let's look at chapter 7. Chapter 7. If you can put these things together in your mind, you'll understand about the credentials of the Lord Jesus. Chapter 7, verse 18. And the disciples of John told John of all these things. And John, calling unto him two of his disciples, said unto the Lord, saying, Are you he that cometh, or look we for another? And when the men were come unto him, they said, John the Baptist hath sent us unto thee, saying, Are you he that cometh, or do we look for another? In that hour he cured many of diseases, and plagues, and evil spirits, and on many that were blind he bestowed sight. And they answered and said unto them, Go and tell John the things which you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the dead hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have good tidings preached unto them. And blessed is he whosoever shall find no occasion of stumbling on me. And one last reference that I want to read in Hebrews 6. Hebrews 6. This is talking about apostatizers. But it tells something that they experienced. And so let's see in 6:4 of Hebrews. For it's touching those who were once enlightened and tasted of the heavenly gift, and were made partakers of the Holy Spirit, and tasted the good word of God, and the powers of the world to come. The powers of the age to come. Notice, they tasted of the powers of the age to come. That's all we'll read. Let's speak to God again in prayer. Now, Father, we thank you for the explanation that the Word of God gives us about things. Let us know that men are asked for answers, and sometimes they are good answers, and sometimes they are all wrong. But we are thankful that if your Son gives us the answer, it is true, because he whom God sent speaks the words of God. We thank you for that. And we've read words that he spoke, so let us understand these words, we pray. For the past hour, we thank you, and we look to thee for this hour to build upon it. So illumine us, we pray, empower the lips of him who speaks, and glorify thy Son, the Lord Jesus. We confess our sins, be faithfully just, to forgive and cleanse as your promise, and get glory to your name this hour, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. Does any brother know how many recorded miracles in the Gospels Jesus performed? A lot, yes, that's right. A lot. But I have counted 35, at least 35 recorded miracles that our Lord performed. I know this, that's simply a small portion. For this reason, in John's Gospel, it says, many other miracles, many other signs truly did Jesus, which are not written in this book. So what God has done is to take a selection of miracles that Christ performed, and he has recorded them for us. This he has done because he has also given us a selection of miracles that were performed by his servants in the Old Testament. And he wants us to understand the likeness and the dissimilarity between the miracles of the Old Testament that were performed by Moses and Joshua and Elijah and Elisha and the prophets of God. He wants us to compare and contrast those miracles with those of the Lord Jesus. And you say, they are the same. No, most of them are entirely different. This is what is so remarkable. You would think that when the Lord Jesus came upon the scene, that his stature would be magnified so that all the miracles that were performed in the Old Testament would be eclipsed by the miracles that Christ performed in the New Testament. But it's just the opposite, for this reason. If you think of the miracles in the Old Testament, think of their greatness and their magnitude. When the battle needed to be won, and Joshua commanded the sun to stand still and the moon to stand still, and they obeyed him. So here is a miracle of the universe. And at the same time, when Moses and Aaron stood at the Red Sea and lifted the rod, and the waters of the Red Sea went back, how marvelous, how great, how magnificent were the miracles of the Old Testament. Now tell me any miracle that Christ performed that would equal to having the sun and the moon stand still. You say, well, I remember that he stilled the storm. That's fine. So here in a given location on the Lake of Galilee, our Savior stills the storm, and perhaps that is of the greatest magnitude. But think of the other miracles. You say, why? There wasn't any greatness about them. Here is a little boy that has 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and he takes those and he feeds the multitudes. Here is somebody with a fever, and he heals that fever. So, think of that, but then think in the Old Testament of the nature of the miracles that were performed there. And you will find that in the Old Testament, the miracles were negative and destructive. Here is Elijah, and enemies come after Elijah. They said, "Man of God, come down, the king commands you to come see him." He said, "If I am a man of God, may fire come down from heaven and consume you." The fire came down and consumed them. And when the Red Sea opened and the children of Israel got to the other side, what happened to Pharaoh's army in the midst of it? You say, why, they were drowned. And when Sennacherib's army came and was going to destroy Israel, what happened? You say, why, an angel came and destroyed 185,000 of them. Yes. So you think of the miracles in the Old Testament, and one after another was a miracle that killed, that destroyed. When the young lads came out and said to Elisha, "Go up thou bald head, go up thou bald head." Elisha spoke the word, and bears came down and tore all those young men. You say, well, what you're telling me, they're miracles of destruction. Yes. And when Moses was in Egypt, when he performed the miracles, what blessing did they bring upon those on whom they were performed? He turned the water into blood. He commanded frogs to come. Lice, flies, disease on their cattle, boils upon them. Fire, hail, thunder, locusts, darkness, and death. Tell me one of those miracles that brought a blessing to man. You say, this is terrible. All of those miracles that were performed in the Old Testament that you mentioned, and I just mentioned these to show you the contrast. You say, why? They were unlike anything that Jesus ever performed. Now listen carefully to this question. Give me one miracle that Jesus ever performed upon man that was not a blessing. One blessing upon man, you can't find it. That wasn't a blessing. But there is one negative miracle that Christ performed. And what was that? When he cursed the fig tree, but that wasn't upon a man. You see, here is Israel that is pictured in that fig tree. But our Savior never performs a negative, a harmful miracle upon any human being when he's on earth. That's the difference. And think of the difference in the way that miracles were performed. When Aaron and Moses open the Red Sea, they stand and magnificently hold up the rod. And at the same time, when they are before Pharaoh, there is this outward display. Whenever the Lord Jesus performed a miracle, tell me one hint of any outward display that he ever showed. You say, he simply said, bring me those loaves and fishes, and he sat down, and he broke them. And when a little girl was sick, he simply laid his hand on her and said, "Talitha kumi, little lamb, arise." And when he raised the dead, the only thing he did was this, "Lazarus, come forth." So any miracle he ever performed, it was in simplicity and humility. Now think of this also, because people are determined to make Christ into something that he's not. You say, he's the Son of God. He came from heaven. Yes. And where was he born? You say, why, he was born in a manger. Yes. And when the great King of Israel, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, rode into Jerusalem, what did he ride on? You see, he rode on a donkey. Can you make anything great out of that? So it's all gentleness simplicity, humility, simply having to do these miracles to show you who he was. These were his credentials. The last hour, I told him about that. The Lord Jesus had to have credentials. If somebody comes to you and tells you that they are from God and they want you to live this way, they must have some credential to show you that they are from God. And perhaps sometime I will give you the threefold credential that you have to have concerning a miracle to show that the man is from God. And that is why I read to you from Luke 5 and also Luke 7. When John the Baptist was wondering, he was in prison and his faith is being tested. He says to the Savior, "Are you the Messiah? Or are we looking for somebody else?" The Lord Jesus said, "Go tell him this." He performed ever so many miracles while they were there. And he said, "And tell them that the blind receive their sight, the dead are raised up, the poor have the gospel preached unto them, and blessed is he that has no occasion of stumbling in me." He said, "These are my credentials." That is the way Christ manifested his credentials. And listen to this, because at times, and I cannot help but laugh when he is challenged. When our Savior performs the miracle, notice, unlike today, when people say there are no miracles, Jesus did not perform any miracles. There was not one of his contemporaries that ever denied that Jesus performed miracles. But what they said was this, by Beelzebub, he performed these miracles. They knew that there was a source of power that was outside himself, but they did not want to accept his doctrine, and so they said, Beelzebub, the prince of the demons, that's how he does it. But now, the Lord Jesus, when he was charged with blasphemy in Luke chapter 5, he said, "You doubt my authority on earth to forgive sins?" He said, "Well, I will show you what authority I have, because one thing is no easier for me than another. I said to this man, 'Son, thy sins be forgiven thee.' You cannot tell if his sins are forgiven." He said, "But you can tell this." And here is a paralyzed man before him. And this is what he says. He says, "Take up thy bed and walk and go to your house." Now, which is easier, for me to say that or to say your sins are forgiven? And so he turns to the man and he says, "Take up your bed, go home, walk." And the man did. So what did they say? They said, "You have no authority to do this. It's blasphemy." The Lord Jesus said, "I'm going to show you that I have authority on earth to forgive sins." So, that the message that Christ gave was from God, who verified it by a multitude of miracles. God only has recorded for us 35 known miracles. There may be others, but 35 recorded miracles. And so these are credentials that all of those that were in his presence saw throughout his life. For the 3 years that he was on earth, he constantly was giving his credentials. Now understand this, because you must understand it, that if I have come and given you my credentials, and they are impeccable, they are without a doubt valid credentials, and then you turn and say, "Give me more credentials," I'm not going to give you any more credentials. I've given you credentials that God told me to give you. And if you want more credentials, this is what Christ says, "A sinful and an adulterous generation seeks after more credentials, seeks after a sign." He said, "I'm not going to give you any more." He gave so many that the people were flooded with them. He gave them of such a nature. He said, "If I had not performed them, the works that no man ever performed," he said, "they had not had sin." And so the Lord Jesus gave abundance of credentials. But having given his credentials that were undoubtable, he said, "I'm not going to give you any more, because that would be presumption on my part. God has shown you who I am. Now listen to what I say." But they did not. And therefore, if someone from a foreign country comes and gives to our country credentials and presents them that he is the ambassador to the United States, and those credentials are disregarded, cast aside, then that nation has a right to wage war or disconnect any association with the United States. And so this is what happened. This is what Christ said. It said, then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty miracles were performed. He performed those miracles. They rejected him. He said, woe unto you. In the day of judgment, it shall be condemnation. Why? Because he gave the credentials and they rejected those credentials. So, miracles, the miracles of Christ, yes, he had to perform miracles. And let me give you three stages. Christ said, the work that I do, shall you do also, and greater. So he said, I have credentials. He said, you have to have credentials. And what I did, you shall do greater. But understand this. Nobody could do greater miracles in quality than Christ. Quantity, yes. For instance, through all his years that he preached when he was on earth, in the upper room, how many converts are there waiting for the Holy Spirit to come upon them on the day of Pentecost? You say, why? 120. How many were converted on the day of Pentecost when Peter preached one sermon? You say, thousands. They did greater things then than he did. Not in quality, but in quantity. So, Christ had to present his credentials. His followers had to present their credentials. And also, their converts must present their credentials. And I can show you from God's Word that Christ performed miracles. His disciples performed miracles. Their converts performed miracles. But I cannot show you with any authenticity any miracles that have been performed by other men after that date. I want you to remember that. Because what they said about Christ and his performing miracles by Beelzebub, I want you to understand that there is another being that is superior to ordinary creatures, who is Satan. And it speaks in 2 Thessalonians 2, and our Savior says concerning some, that they shall come with mighty powers, mighty works, with lying wonders and marvels. So what is he telling us? He says, yes, there are not only my followers that perform miracles and give their credentials, but there are Satan's servants that also come and they present their credentials. I will explain that to you at a later date. And so remember this, beware that if someone does perform a miracle today, it does not mean that he's of God, because Christ said, they shall come, false prophets, committing great miracles and wonders. And it says, it's possible to deceive the elect. And so many people are led astray when they hear what is a miracle. But if I interpret this correctly, and I have no reason not to believe it, and if you will show me I'm wrong, I will rejoice. I am not aware of any miracles of the nature that Christ demanded in the New Testament that are being performed today. Tell me, if you've ever gone through a healing campaign, how many of them have brought some corpses in from the morgue and raised those corpses to life from the dead? How many? How many of them have ever gone to a leper colony where their body is eaten up with disease and touched that leper and made the disease go away? You say, not one. And how many of those that were born blind? I have a friend, and I was just speaking to him last week, that were born blind, has the word been given, and their eyes were opened. You say, no, but somebody that had a stomach disorder, someone that, yes, all of those things. But the Savior, when he gave them commands, he said to cleanse the leper, to raise the dead,
But they never attempt those things. Why? Because they're not able to do them. Because they don't have that power from God. How many of them have ever taken an amputation and put it back on? But when Malchus' ear was cut off, the Lord Jesus just touched his ear and it was healed. Have you ever seen anybody take an amputated part of the body and put it back on? You say no. Well, these are the miracles in the New Testament. But you do not find those miracles now. They were absolutely essential for Christ, his apostles, the disciples, and their converts. Why? Because the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 16, these signs shall follow them, and they give all sorts of miracles that shall follow. And they did. They followed the apostles and the disciples and their converts. All of those things have been fulfilled. But remember, I told you that in the case of Christ, when miracle after miracle after miracle had been displayed, and they said, show us another miracle. He said, an evil and an adulterous generation seeketh after a miracle. He said, there shall no miracle be given, no sign except the sign of Jonah, the prophet. Now what God does is this. He has given visible miracles to a certain generation that was on earth. And for us, he says, believe the testimony of that generation. Those that lived 400 years after Moses, they did not see the miracles of Moses. They would have to believe the fathers who told the children that those miracles had been performed. And in like manner, now that we come to our time today, listen to what John says. He says, many other signs, miracles, did Jesus, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life in his name. He does not say, I'm going to display miracles that you might believe. He said, I'm writing you about miracles that have been displayed that you might believe. And so now it is not the performing miracles in your presence, but it is giving you the inspired record from the Word of God, and it is saying to you, these are verified, and they have been performed, and they will save your soul. Isn't that thrilling? Suppose I had to see an actual miracle by Christ or an apostle before I could be convinced. But God has said, these are written that you may believe. And so if I believe the miracles that I did not see, but were accredited by those who did see, then I am saved as much as those who saw the miracles. Now, one other thing concerning miracles today, and why, and I'm speaking of New Testament miracles, the kind that are indisputable. Why? I read you in Hebrews 6, and this is something that people have failed to understand, that miracles are not for all time. Had you been here the last hour, you would have found that from the creation, not one miracle was ever performed by a man until Moses came along. The whole world had gone along without any man performing a miracle until Moses went and cast that rod down in the presence of Pharaoh, and it turned into a serpent. No miracle by a man had ever been performed. Not only that, you have Joshua, and then you have a judge here and there, and then you have Elijah and Elisha. But then for 400 years, there are no miracles. And so God has a period of miracles, and then there is a great gap when there are no miracles. And so what has happened is that you have a number of miracles for one, two, three consecutive groups. Christ, his apostles, their converts. Now, if God has given a threefold cord that's not easily broken, he's not going to continue to give them. Why? Because if you give any more, they will not convert you any quicker than if you read of the miracles that have been performed. This is what the rich man in hell was arguing with heaven about. He said, if you send somebody back from the dead, they will believe. And heaven said this, they have Moses in the scriptures. If they will not believe Moses in the scriptures, they will not be convinced if a man went back from the dead. It makes no difference. If they saw a miracle today, they would not be converted any quicker. Because because Christ knows what miracles do. He said to those that sow in seed the 5,000, they said, Rabbi, how did you get over here to this side? And the Savior said, You seek me not because you saw the miracles, the signs, but because you ate the loaves and you were filled. You see? That's what a miracle did to them. And so miracles are not given by Christ except to certain persons at certain times. When he went before Herod, Herod said, I've been so eager to have Jesus come before me. Now, Jesus, show me a miracle. The Lord Jesus did absolutely nothing because he's not there to display the power that he has, to show off himself, to entertain some person in a high position. Never. And so in like manner, any time miracles are performed, notice how with economy they are performed. This time, that time. And how selective they are, and having performed all the miracles that God told him to perform, he said no more. And so what he has done is this. In Christ's case, he knew when to stop. Sometimes God's children would not know when to stop. And so God can put an end to that very quickly. He simply withdraws the power that they have to perform miracles. And Paul, at the last of his life, had to say this, Trophimus, have I left at Miletus sick? Why? There were times when you could perform mighty miracles so that not only did you do it personally, but you could send a handkerchief or an apron that had touched your body, and that would heal people. Don't you understand that what is happening is that enough miracles have been performed, and God says, no more. Because God is one who has an economy of the miraculous. And after truth has been established, he says, you look back on that. Now listen, this is what you are looking for, and this is what eventually shall happen. It says in Hebrews chapter 6 that the people who saw miracles, tasted them, experienced them, it says they tasted of the powers of the age to come. And so what is a miracle that is performed now? It's tasting of the power of the age to come. And so throughout the ages, some miracles here, some miracles here, some miracles here. But when they tasted of the powers of the age to come, they're not tasting of today's powers and what God expects. They're experiencing in anticipation the powers of the age to come. And in that age to come, yes, there will be an abundance of power manifested constantly. You may read it during the millennium. What is going to happen? The miraculous will be the ordinary. It will be the commonplace. But it says they tasted the powers of the age to come. And what man wants to do is to take the powers of the age to come and bring them to his age and make them go on now. But God says, no, you have to wait for the age to come. Listen to what he says to Peter. Peter says, Lord, we've left all and followed thee. What shall we have? He said, in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, you also shall sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. He says, that is in the age to come. But now, God only gives miracles for a short period of time, for specific reasons. And after he gives enough credentials, he gives no more. What he does is this. He gives a man truth. He draws a man to such a degree that if that man will not say yes when the Spirit of God draws him, he does not overpower that man. And just to show you and illustrate that a miracle will not convince a man. The man in hell said, if Lazarus went back from the dead, if somebody went back from the dead, they will be persuaded. Heaven said, they will not be persuaded. And what God has done is to give us an illustration of Lazarus coming back from the dead in John 11. He came back, and the enemies of Christ saw Lazarus raised from the dead. And they went in and plotted to put Jesus to death. A miracle will not convince a man. God gives the miracles because you have to have the credentials. But having given the credentials, now they are recorded for us in the inspired word of God, and we read those miracles, and we are converted by them. And the Savior said, Thomas, you would believe because you've seen. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And I am blessed. I have not seen, but I have read and I believe. And the Savior says, these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. And so it does not take a miracle in virtue. It takes an acceptance of the recorded miracles in the Word of God, and you believe those, and when you believe them, you are saved. And that's all the time we have now for. Let us pray. Now, Father, we thank you for your ways, and we thank you that you show us your ways, and you will not change them. We would like to come and tell you how to run the world and how to run the universe. Forgive us our folly, our God, we are fools. And our God, we would like to tell you what man should be healed and just how often it should be done. We are thankful as for God, his way is perfect. And so, our Father, help us to accept that. Let us know that you have given many infallible proofs and all that we need to know, all that has been done is enough to convert mankind. And so we pray that it shall convert us. We thank you for the truth of it. We believe it. We embrace it. And we know, Father, that in that coming age, we shall see miracles. Yea, Father, the beginning of that age is when Christ shall descend from heaven with a shout, and as he said to Lazarus, come forth, he shall call us, and the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God and rise. And so miracles shall occur, our Father. But until then, let us know when, perchance, you may perform a miracle, or when it may be a false miracle, a lying wonder. Guide us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.